Blog Talk Radio.
I was born by the river in a little city, and like a river running, running. Ever since, it's been a long time coming, but I know change gon' come. Yes, it is.
I use Dr. Welsing
because to me she was the representation of Ma'at in this time. The great work she produced called The Isis Papers, phenomenal book. I remember I read my sister's copy back in probably the mid-90s. I also remember seeing Dr. Welson on, I think, the Donahue Show in the 90s. And when I read the book, as well as when I seen her on the Donahue Show, you know, it made me say that Ma'at has arrived, because she began to break down the psychological behavior of Western civilization and the symbols, games, and other phenomena that forms this system of white racist supremacy. And she broke it down very well in the ISIS papers. I'm going to read a little phrase here from Dr. Welson. I actually got it off my Facebook post. Somebody posted it. I remember hearing her say this in one of her lectures, and it goes as follows. We're the only people on this entire planet who have been taught to sing and praise our demeanor. I'm a hoe. I'm a gangster. I'm a thug. I'm a dog. If you can train people to demean and degrade themselves, you can oppress them forever. You can even program them to kill themselves, and they won't even understand what happened. End quote. That's Dr. Francis Cress Welsin. As I said before, this was Ma'at to me. Hearing Dr. Welsin's lectures and reading her work, The ISIS Papers, when I first read it, I said, wow, I never thought that this was actually the case. You know, Dr. Welsin always said that, you know, what's going on in the subconscious will consciously show itself in symbols, in words. And the symbols made me remember so much was the football games, the basketball games, the baseball games, the golf games. When she speaks about what games are played with big brown balls, and you go into football and basketball, who dominates those games? In America, it's normally black men. What are they doing? In football, you're kicking a big brown ball through a white goalpost that's symbolic of a woman's legs raised up, and you're putting the ball through it. And immediately makes me think about sex between a black man and a white woman. That's the symbolism of that game, football. Basketball, another big round black ball or brown ball that a man shoots through a white hoop. Again, the ball goes through something white. Symbolism of a black man having sex with a white woman, once again. People can deny this and say, oh, this is not so, this is not the case. But it keeps, the idea keeps duplicating itself. You go to the game of pool. Now, I remember on Martin Lawrence sitcom back in the 90s, he had one sitcom in which he explained Dr. Welsin's theory of pool. You have a white ball hitting all other color balls on a green table that represents the green earth, and it's knocking all the balls in the earth. And the game is over when the white ball hits the black ball. And, you know, of course they say don't get caught behind the eight ball, but we won't go into that. But I remember reading that in the ISIS papers, and all I could say is, wow. I mean, the symbolism was dead on to what's going on in front of us every day. Now, Dr. Wilson also spoke about the sayings that they have all around the world. You know, she said actually when she was in Europe, when she started this phrase, everybody knew it. If you're white, you are right. If you're brown, stick around. If you're black, stay back. And she said wherever she went, everyone knew that phrase. And so when I think about Dr. Wilson's work, I'm constantly reminded of the system that runs this world called racist white supremacy and the games and symbols that are all around us reinforces white supremacy. And I know when I seen Dr. Wilson on Phil Donahue's show back in the 90s, and, you know, of course, at the time, I never heard of her. And when she came on that show, it was a shock to my system, at the same time, a wake-up call. I said, wow. And, of course, she was treated antagonistic by the audience because the audience was filled with white folks and they just couldn't believe this black woman is saying this. And she's not speaking in anger. She's not talking silly. I mean, once you heard her analyze the symbols and games that are around us every day, couldn't refute it. That's when I said, Ma'at has come. Ma'at has come. Now let me turn back to the Natir Sesa. I'm going to read another passage from Dinesu Indirazi from the Instruction to Merikari, called Divine Justice, and it goes as follows. Generation succeeds generation, while our men, who knows their characters, has hidden himself. One cannot resist the Lord of the Hand, for he reaches all that the eyes can see. One should revere our men on his path, made of costly stones, fashioned of bronze. As watercourse is replaced by watercourse, so no river allows itself to be concealed, and it breaks the channels in which it was hidden. See also, the Ba goes to the place it knows, and strays not from its former path. Make worthy your house of the afterlife. Make firm your station in the afterlife by being upright, by doing justice on which the hearts of men rely. The loaf of the upright is preferred to the ox of the evildoer. Work for our men. Our men will also work for you, with offerings that make the altar flourish, with cravings that proclaim your name. Our men thanks of him who works for him. End quote. And when I read that passage, of course it immediately made me think of Imani Speaks. That I come on this show, not every week, almost every week, but the weeks that I do come on this show, I speak for our men. Not that our men appointed me or our men needs me to speak for our men. It's what I choose to do. And I was going over in my head today after a prayer that I said, do I pray to the Creator for some paltry return? Do I pray to Creator to receive something back? Do I pray to give thanksgiving for what I have already received? Of course, I chose the latter. But I think about when people pray that they always pray for something, to receive something, to get something. Give me, give me, give me. And of course, we don't take the time to give praise and thanksgiving to the Creator for what we already have. As many of us, again, have been affected by this selfish world, this selfish Hellenistic world, to be more exact. And so we are taught in this Hellenistic world to be selfish, to be individualistic. And then, for some reason, we expect Ma'at through the so-called justice system. I say so-called because there's no justice here for dark-skinned, woolly-haired people. By whatever sect you call yourself, there's no need to argue semantics. It's a waste of time arguing about what you call yourself, why you call yourself that, what you call the Creator, why you call the Creator that, how you worship the Creator, why do you worship the Creator like that. We have so many people that are just caught up in arguing semantics that we never get the true work done because we're too busy dividing ourselves off of, I won't say silly little things, but it's things that we shouldn't be dividing ourselves over. I mean, for example, the name you call the Creator. Many of us, well, I just say black people, when we was captured into slavery. Now, some of us talk from the perspective of the Maritan or African Ma'afa being brought over here from Africa. Of course, there's some of us that say that we wasn't brought over here from Africa. We was kidnapped right here in our own land. And me, because I walk through time, I'm a student of history, I see that both of them happen. And this is why I say both of them happen. When I begin studying the Gullah Geechee people in the islands of South Carolina and Georgia, and also with a combination of studying the work of Dr. Rinoco Rashidi, I begin to see that the black man and woman existed on every continent on this planet. The black man and woman had different in it on this planet. As these cultures were different, in many ways they were similar. Oh, you can see a uniting force in every culture. And reading the book, The Destruction of Black Civilization by Chancellor Williams, combined with the work of Dr. Rinoco Rashidi, and my studies of the Gullah Geechee people and the Taino people that are the natives of what is now Haiti and the Dominican Republic, I begin to see that the black man, woman, and child was supplanted all over the earth. All over the earth. And when we engage with the European, all over the earth, our civilizations were destroyed, our symbols, folkways, lawways were taken. Our interpretation of the creative force of the universe was even taken and replaced with a false image at that. And ever since that has happened, this whole earth has went into chaos. And then last century, we had great scholars like Dr. George G.M. James, Dr. John Henrik Clark, Dr. Joseph Jokhanen, Dr. Ivan Van Sertima, several others. I mean, today we have Dr. Renoko Rashidi and Dr. Ashra Kwesi, as well as others. I'm not going to give a roll call of everyone I've studied over the years, but the work of all these scholars and I have add along with them the work of Dr. Francis Cress Welson, because the ISIS papers was a phenomenal work on breaking down the symbolism and behavior of this world today. Like I said, when I first saw Dr. Welsing on the Donahue show, I said, there's Ma'at. There she is. Said Ma'at has resurrected. And to me it wasn't about, oh, she's telling those white folks. It wasn't that at all. It was to me the day that truth finally stood up and began to speak. Yes, it made some people angry, but it still spoke. And when they heard truth, they could not deny it. They tried to. Some tried to. But no one could give a substantial argument that what she was saying was false. No one could. I mean, because it was right in your face, truth. And when I heard Dr. Welson speak like that, I said, well, this was why they didn't want the black man or the black woman to engage in higher levels of thinking, because we're starting to see what this world is all about. And the Creator's children will begin to wake up. Because that's what's going on. Last century was the start of the waking of some people call consciousness, which means awareness. It was an awakening of it. And all of us that are here, all of our greats have submitted their works and moved on to the ancestral realm. And I say moved on because, again, we was taught that death, or not taught, but we're still being taught, they're still teaching it, that death is the end. when death is just a transition from the seen to the unseen. We are immortals. There is no such thing as death. That's the lie that most of us have believed in. We see our elders transitioning back to their immortal selves, and because we can't see the true Amen, or the true immortal body with these eyes, with these mortal eyes, because we can't see it, we don't believe that it exists. It's like, again, that we believe good to be in this world when it does not exist here. Passage from that in Amen alone is good. Where do I want to start? And I give thanks to Amen that concerning the knowledge of good, put this assurance in my mind that it is impossible it should be in the world. For the world is the fullness of evilness, but Amen is the fullness of good, or good of Amen. For the amenities of all appearing beauty are in the essence more pure, more sincere, and perhaps they are also the essence of it. For we must be bold to say that the essence of Amen, if he have an essence, is that which is fair or beautiful. But no good is comprehended in this world. For all things that are subject, I've just been informed the live feed will end in a minute. If you'd like to hear the rest of this, please dial into 424-222-5376. Again, that's 424-222-5376. If you can't dial in, I will say first Amen, secondly the world, thirdly man, Hotep. And for those listening on the phone and on playback, I will continue. For all things that are subject to the eye are idols, and as it were, shadows. But those things that are not subject to the eye are ever, especially the essence of the fair and the good. And as the eye cannot see Amen, so can neither the fair nor the good. For these are the parts of Amen that partake the nature of the whole, proper and familiar to him alone, inseparable, most lovely, of which either Amen is enamored or they are enamored of Amen. If you can understand Amen, you will understand the fair and the good, which is most shining and enlightening, and most enlightened by Amen. For that beauty is above comparison, and that good is inimitable as Amen himself. As therefore you understand Amen, you also understand the fair and the good. For these are incommunicable to any other living creatures, because they are inseparable from Amen. If you seek Amen, you seek along also of the fair, for there is one way that leads to the same thing, that is piety with knowledge. This is why they that are ignorant and go not in the way of piety dare call man fair and good, never seeing so much as in a dream what good is, being enfolded and wrapped up in all evil and believing that the evil is the good. They by that means both use it insatiably and are afraid to be deprived of it, and therefore they strive by all possible means that they may not only have it, but also increase it. Such are the good and fair things of men, which we can neither love nor hate, for this is the hardest thing of all, that we have need of them and cannot live without them. And that's the end of that quote. See, we go around calling the good is evil. You have so many men today that dispute the existence of the one because they can't see the one with their eyes, and you can't see the one with your eyes, not with your mortal eyes. As it says, Book of Life, that you can only see the one with the eyes of your heart. You can't see the one with your mortal eyes. You can only know the one with the mind. You can't know the one by what some charlatan or some novice tells you. Tell you the one is a man, not. They'll tell you the one is a woman, not. And then they say, if the one's not a man or a woman, then what is it? How can it be? The one is the pure energy, the unmixed pure energy, the good, the only good in this universe. That's what good means, to be pure and unmixed. And everything that is made has to be generated. So it's mixed with the element. So it can't be good, saying. There is no good here. You told me that 10 years ago, I would think you're crazy. What you mean there is no good here? Well, first you have to understand what good is and what it is not. Some people say, I'm in love. Love is good. Well, it depends on what you mean by love is good. If you describe love as a cheap passion, and I say cheap passion because a lot of us, we mistaken lust as love. Speaking from a perspective of a man, I see a beautiful woman, and, you know, her beauty stops me in my tracks. The world tells you, oh, you're in love. No, that's just passion. How can you love something you don't know? How can you love something you don't understand or overstand or understand? This is why we need to resurrect Ma'at. We must resurrect the truth. The truth of who we are, what we are, why we're here, and how do we get to our natural immortal selves. As we come down into these bodies and we're constantly deceived by the illusions of this world, so many of us, we trust our five senses. If we can't detect it with our five senses, we say it's not real. That's completely false. Truth of this universe, with your five senses. Your five senses will deceive you. That's why the architects of this Hellenistic madness constantly deceive our five senses with what we see, what we hear, what we taste, what we smell, what we feel. Most of us are so brainwashed that we don't understand that our thoughts are not even ours, that somebody give it to us. How do they give you these thoughts? Through entertainment, of course, when you're most open and vulnerable to taking these suggestions and these thoughts. I know yesterday I walked in to my son's house, and they was watching some movie. You know, it seems like every movie nowadays is about a zombie. And the sick stuff that was going on in that film, I couldn't believe that they was watching it. You know, had a guy being about to fall out a window, holding on to a zombie's penis, and then the penis popped off the man, and the boy fell, and the penis went into another zombie's mouth. I said, this is ridiculous. All this homosexual hints, all these homosexual scenes, all these homosexual thoughts that are given to people. It's okay. Do it. Do it. You'll get ahead in this world. It's funny. And, you know, in that same movie, somebody bent over and something went up his or her butt. I don't remember if it was a his or her. But, see, this is the sick stuff that goes on every day. The sick thoughts that we get from somebody else. Somebody give us these thoughts and tell us, take it in, take it in. And then some of us are crazy to believe that this is the real world. Now, they say, I know the movies is fake, but it's funny. But every day they go out in the world and they try to relive these movies in one way or another. I was listening to a lecture of Dr. Amos Wilson. I can't remember the name of the exact lecture, but he was talking about when he rides on the trains in New York and he sees the young men and women bopping their head to the music, and they perceive that this is what soul is. Because you got rhythm, because you can keep rhythm, you're supposed to have soul. And totally ignore everything else, what it means to have a soul. Now, this is me talking now, not Dr. Wilson. But we totally ignore what it means to have a soul. Totally ignore life. What it is and what it's supposed to do for us. The purpose of life is regeneration of the soul. And many people go, well, what is regeneration of the soul? Well, it's to charge it up, to resurrect back to its immortal self. And the regeneration, it's merely virtue. Because our souls, the longer we stay in these bodies, they become very weak. Some say soaked with the ways of the flesh or the torments of the flesh. And all that really means is so used to this mortal world that we think that this is all that it is. And that's what it means that this world is an illusion. It's a deception. Because this is not all that it is. This is just the making of one form of reality. This is the generated or the seen or the passive world. And in this passive world, it's full of illusion, full of deception. That's why the architects now, don't get me wrong, the architects of this passive world are in the game of deceiving. You know, we're in the year 2016 by the Gregorian calendar. 16 years ago, we came into the 21st century, or the year 2000, and we was told that this is the end of the world. End of the world, according to the apocalyptic book called Revelations, in a very popular book distributed amongst the whole planet called the Bible. doesn't matter which version you read, it, because they're all in, they all have it or possess the apocalyptic book called Revelations. And so we are constantly told that we are in the times of Revelation. I can recall my dad and I a few months back was talking about this. And we both came to an agreement that we are in Revelation times because we see the backwardness, the chaos, the homosexuality, the children murdering parents, the parents murdering children, men wanting to be women, women wanting to be men. It's all backwards. And every time I think of that, I think about the few passages I read from the book Morals and Dogma by Albert Pike. And in that book, Albert Pike was talking about that they was going to orchestrate three world wars as well as revolutions. And we already seen two world wars. We're currently in the third one. It's just not announced on the news, but it's going on. It's got to pay attention. Time of apocalypse. And this is what I describe as a time of crisis. And when there's crisis, there's opportunity. Anytime you have a crisis, the optimist sees opportunity. Instead of looking at doom and gloom, you look at the opportunities that arise. And the apocalypse is on this Hellenistic world because it's time to resurrect Ma'at. Time to resurrect truth. We all know Ma'at as the symbol of the woman holding the scale, balancing it. And every time I see that, I see Ma'at balancing the scales. Well, what represent Ma'at? I see the balances between, or the balance is, not between, but the balance is male energy or masculine energy and feminine energy, strength and intelligence.